arrive. That same afternoon, during rush hour, a second and even more violent quake had claimed 3 more lives and caused dozens more serious injuries. It had put cracks in numerous buildings and had brought down 2 old houses altogether. Roads had been torn open, a footbridge had collapsed, several underground pipes had burst, flooding the town with water and turning the air putrid. The town's famous archaeological sites had been closed for emergency repairs and hadn't yet reopened. The most lasting impact, however, had been the fear. Vesuvius had been dormant so long that everyone living here had grown complacent, tuning out the warnings of the experts and bragging instead about the cheapness of the housing and its convenience for Naples, about its gorgeous views over the sea and the richness of its soil. No one was bragging anymore. The red zone around the great volcano's foothills had been on amber alert ever since, its second highest state of readiness, indicating that a catastrophic eruption was possible within weeks. But everyone knew that was nonsense. Volcanoes weren't expectant mothers waiting patiently for their due dates. They struck when they struck, and that was that. Besides, it was no secret that the experts at the Vesuvius Observatory had already recommended an evacuation, but that the region's politicians had said no. Aware of how chaotic and expensive it would prove, how unforgiving their citizenry would be if no eruption happened. So, everyone was living on their nerves instead, kept jittery by aftershocks and the plume of black smoke that had been rising ominously from the caldera ever since, pumping out enough particulate ash to disrupt air traffic, affect the weather, and give everyone a cough. Every evening, tucking their children into bed, parents would fret that tonight might be it. Every morning, setting off for work after another sleepless night, nerves were that little bit more frayed and tempers that much shorter. "The fuck you park there for, you moron?" yelled the bearded man in the silver van, honking and shaking his fist. "Get out of the bloody way!" Lucia Conta was a librarian with a librarian's sense of decorum, but she was a Neapolitan too and had her dignity to think of. She buzzed down the rear window of the Ford Discovery, therefore, to return some fire. "Get lost, asshole!" she shouted. Behind the steering wheel, Taddeo Santoro, the outsized and impressively bearded head of Naples' famous archaeological museum, glanced wryly across at his closest and oldest friend, the diminutive history professor Zeno D'Agostino, of TV fame. "Our city's most distinguished papyrologist, don't you know?" he murmured. "You're the one who parked in the middle of a junction," grumbled Lucia. "What choice did I have?" replied Taddeo, shrugging at the gridlocked traffic. But at last there was movement ahead, allowing them to roll far enough forward for the van driver to squeeze by behind and speed off with a final rude gesture. Then traffic congealed once more. Taddeo turned to Lucia. "Any word from our friend yet?" "His phone must be off." "Damn the man," he said, scratching irritably at his bearded throat. "He does it on purpose." "It's no distance from here," she said. "I'll go check." She jumped out and hurried up the hill, brushing aside the waitress touts as they tried to shoo her into the tourist cafes with their laminated menus. She rounded the corner and saw Rupert Alberts at once, standing atop the station steps, dressed in his habitual black woollen suit, his brown hair and eyebrows at least halfway silver, despite him still being only in his early 40s. Slender and undeniably handsome, save for the unattractive yet characteristic sour smile on his lips, as though glad to have been kept waiting, grateful for the grievance. He was Canadian by birth, but he'd been living in Rome for a decade or more, where he'd acquired an impressive expertise and reputation, so that they were extremely fortunate to have him on this project, as Lucia kept having to remind herself. For there were times. She shouted out to him and waved. He pretended not to notice. She drew closer and called out again, leaving him no choice.